you call Bigfoot in one of the chapters North America's King Kong.
Right.
So you think it's an ape?
Well, I don't know. The description is certainly ape-like. If we really stretch ourselves here, and George, I know you've done this. You're an old pro when it comes to Bigfoot hunting. It certainly is ape-like in appearance, but yet it is human in appearance as well. So, again, it appears to be as though it is some cross, and like I say, like a living ancestor of ours. Now, I have to tell a very quick story of when we found we had been blighted here in Iowa with a number of cases where livestock were just found, you know, something had picked up calves and just ripped them in half and mm-hmm. then eaten some and dropped them. And that's kind of one of the signatures of the Bigfoot. Well, there on some barbed wire, we found a big tuft of hair. Now, my associate at that time was a former policeman, a former private detective, also a former member of Special Forces, and we said, we've got it. Now, he said, you know, a professor at one of the universities owes me a favor. He says, I'm going to take it in and get an analysis, you know, from someone who should know and be able to identify what this hair is. So we brought it to him, left it, said, come back in a few days. We came back in a few days, and he was furious. He ordered us out of the office. Now, he didn't know me. He knew my friend. And he said, I told you in any of your private detective cases, I would never testify in a divorce case. We said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And he says, well, obviously you got this from the sheets or the mattress or whatever of one of your clients checking on a wife or a husband or whatever. And he says, no. And I said, just tell us, please. And he said, well, it's human, but, well, it isn't. But just get out of here. So that was the closest we got to having some kind of explanation, is that it's humanoid or homonym or whatever you want to say. And I think we've had this in so many instances. Now, the cases, you know, of the pictures in the Patterson, Gimlin, and so forth, we'll be arguing about that, you know, probably for another couple decades. Some say it's phony and Planet of the Apes makeup, and then others, you know, swear that it's the Russian team that's taking it frame by frame and demonstrating that it is a creature. And I think that's what we're left with, George, is a creature that appears human-like but also appears ape-like. And again, because of finding so much evidence, as I said before, the feces, the hair, and so forth, and the remains of the animals, but never finding the creature, I think it's most of them, some of them, have to be paraphysical. The same way with the big cats, which I've always been fascinated with. The panthers, the jaguar, the African lions that appear in New England villages. People look out their window at night and there's an African lion walking down the street of a New England village. Last year in New York, someone seeing a lion, and that same day they saw a coyote skating across the ice in Central Park. I mean, animals are misplaced.
Sure.
And I have this fantasy of an animal, let's say, a jaguar that leaps from a tree in South America and somehow lands in Florida or somehow lands in South Dakota. Are there vortexes? Are there vortices scattered throughout through which these animals may, you know, without any knowledge, we can't say they're evil spirits or demonic, but they are innocent victims of these kind of vortices. We have these animals, correct? Now, again, of course, the black panther, strictly speaking, that's a thing as the black panther. They're jaguars in that pattern, that interesting pattern they have, and they have more melanin. And so they become, you just see the black. You can't really see the pattern anymore. And they're popping up all over. And 2 years ago, they were being seen throughout France and throughout the Netherlands. Now, we know that in historical times, there are no great cats in Europe. A type of lion got as far north as Denmark, but that we have found no evidence, no remains of any large cat creature in another historic era that indicates that there were ever big cats in Europe. But they were seen all over. They were seen in vineyards. There were people seen driving. Now, again, how much of that is, you know, power of suggestion? But then there are the cat people. And I've got an incredible case that still gives me the shivers of this guy who's changing a tire in an Illinois park. And he looks over his shoulder, and there's a cat, a huge cat creature standing on its hind legs. And luckily for him,
it didn't pounce on him, did it?
It didn't pounce on him. It was as, I guess, became as frightened, or other traffic came and it ran off. But these cases I receive all the time from really down to earth people who have nothing to gain, and I follow through as best I can, and they provide the feedback as best they can. But these stories also make the press. And I have, in each case, wherever I can, I have the original, or at least the source, where you can examine the original reports and the original cases. So how do these black cats, and in England, I am so incredulous of the great cats and lions and tigers, and that appear in Great Britain.
They're all over the planet, Brent.
They're all over the planet, but they don't belong all over the planet.
No,
the big cats only belong in kind of a very kind of already charted out neighborhood. You know where they should be. They shouldn't be straying. And there again, I have this theory, fantasy, can hyphenate it if you wish, of this tiger that takes a leap in India and ends up in New England.